I want to welcome everyone to our root session. And tonight we're going to be dealing with the seven churches of Revelation and the rapture. Specifically, this session is the rapture session number 4. And before I get into my material, I want to say something about a poll that was taken this past week through Joel Rosenberg, one of my favorite authors. And he did a Joshua Fund poll, and in that poll, he came up with these numbers. I want to share them. He says, right now, during this coronavirus, this pandemic, 44% of Americans that were in the poll say this virus is a wake-up call to return to God. 44% of those in the poll said that they recognize that this pandemic, this virus, is a wake-up call from God, our chance to turn to God. And here's the second number. Nearly one-third of those in the poll believe that we are currently living in what the Bible calls the last days. So obviously this pandemic, this virus that's going around the world is waking people up. Waking them up to what? Okay, so you're awake. Now what? So you're not sleeping. Now what? Turn to God. How? Through the scriptures. And that's why we're here. Through the scriptures. So now we can begin with the question. Can we know when the rapture, the called up into the wedding, When the bridegroom calls the bride home, can we know when the rapture is likely to occur? Jesus says that no one would know the day and no one would know the hour. So if somebody tells you they know the day and they know the hour, you can stop listening to them. But Jesus also says, keep watch. So if I don't know the day and I don't know the hour, then why does he tell me to keep watch? Keep watch for what? Can we know that the time is near? One of the scriptures that I often quote is Jesus says, when you see all these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Will the rapture occur before the great tribulation? We've talked about the 7 years that are going to come to the earth, in which Jesus himself said that if those days were not cut short, no human life would remain on the planet. Does the rapture occur before those 7 years, before the tribulation? What about those who say it'll happen at the midpoint of the tribulation, actually 3.5 years into the 7 years? Well, let me tell you, today I want to make it clear, I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe it to be a separate event from the second coming of Christ. I believe they are separated by the tribulation itself, which is some 7 years. And I believe the rapture is imminent. One of my dear friends, Dr. David Reagan, really kind of helped me through this issue that we're going to talk about tonight. I believe the rapture to be imminent. And when I say that, it means it can happen at any time, that there aren't a series of events that must take place before there can be the rapture. It's imminent. It could happen this moment while I'm doing this video. Nothing needs to happen before the rapture can happen, but I believe the imminent rapture means nothing is undone that has to be done spiritually, scripturally speaking, before Jesus can come for his bride. That's why we keep watch, because there's not this and this and this and this have to happen before he'll come for his bride. Right now, as we stand right now, the rapture is imminent. It could happen at any moment. But the Bible says that some things must happen during the tribulation and before the return of Christ, the second coming, when he will actually stand on the earth. Let me make this point clear, because I'm going to address it a lot. I believe the rapture is an imminent event, which means nothing, we're not waiting on anything for that to happen. But the Bible clearly says that there are a lot of things that must happen before Jesus returns. And what I'm going to refer to tonight is many of those things that must happen before Jesus returns happen during the tribulation. Now, also, let me say that some things that had to happen by the scriptures before Jesus returns, and when I say returns, I'm talking about coming and standing upon the earth, taking his seat on David's throne, beginning a millennial reign on this present earth. Some of those things have already happened, but many of those things are going to happen during that seven-year tribulation, and I'll get into that in a moment. Some things must happen. Everything written in the scriptures must happen. This is something that Jesus made very clear to his disciples after the resurrection. And actually, by doing so, he highlights the absolute authority of the scriptures. He highlights the absolute authority of the Bible. Let me give you an example. Jesus, he's resurrected from the dead, and he appears to his disciples. In Luke chapter 24, here's what he says. And then he said, when I was with you before, now he's resurrected in the scene. When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. He's talking about everything in this Old Testament, everything written about me in the past has to happen. It's unstoppable. Then Jesus did something that only he can do. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Why do I need to understand the scripture? Because to understand the scripture, you understand not only what has been said that will happen, but you'll understand currently the things that have not happened yet, but they must happen. So let me start again in 44. When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, notice where he says, it was written. You see the authority of scripture? It was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written, you see the authority of scripture? It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations. All the nations are going to hear this message. Beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins to all who will repent. It is written. It is written. Everything written must happen. Some things are written that must happen before the return of Christ. This must happen. I'm about to read Matthew 24, chapter 9, 24, verse 9. This must happen before Jesus returns. Verse 9. Then you'll be arrested. This must happen. This is written. Jesus said this will happen before he comes to stand on the earth. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear, and they will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, you see, there's an end, but this is leading up to the end. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it. And then what happens? And then the end will come. And then the end will come. But not until all of this happens. Everything written must happen. And there are many things written in the scriptures that must happen before the return of Christ. But what about the rapture of the church? Is there anything right now that must happen before the rapture of the church could take place? Is that a separate event? Some things must happen because they are written in the scripture. Daniel prophesied some 500 years before Christ, one of the most compelling and accurate timelines in the Bible. It is commonly referred to as the 70 weeks of Daniel, this 490 years that Daniel receives from the angel Gabriel and absolutely profoundly describes a series of events that would lead up to the first coming of Christ. And actually, I believe they actually show the last and final scene after the rapture of the church during the tribulation, all by Daniel, all some 500 years before the birth of Christ. I've written one entire session. I call it the countdown on this Daniel scripture, and I'm just trying to find a time and a place to teach it in the near future. Daniel's prophecy reveals that the tribulation, listen carefully, Daniel's prophecy, some 500 years before Christ, reveals that the tribulation will begin with the signing of some type of a Middle East peace agreement that will enable the Jews to rebuild the Jerusalem temple and renew animal sacrifices, which they have not done since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And they will truly live in peace, at least some form of peace, during this time. So let me read two verses from Daniel chapter 9. Why am I doing this tonight in light of the rapture? Some things that are written down must happen before the return of Christ. Because they are written, they must happen. Verse 26, Daniel 9. After this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one, and I'll just tell you, I believe that's the first coming of Jesus. After this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one will be killed. That's the cross of Christ. Appearing to have accomplished nothing. And a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. That would be Titus, the Roman military commander who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. The end will come with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. Verse 27, the ruler, and I believe now we're talking about a reference to the Antichrist that will come much, much, much after the time of Titus. The ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. And I believe that's a reference to 7 years. But after half this time, 3.5 years into the 7 years, he, the Antichrist, will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. Well, you know, Jews aren't going to have sacrifices and offerings except in Jerusalem, except at the temple. Now, let me read it again. The ruler, or the Antichrist, will make a treaty with the people, I believe that's Israel, for a period of one set of seven years. And after half of this time, 3.5 years into the 7 years, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler is finally poured out on him. I believe that verse 27, describes the 7-year tribulation that must take place before Jesus comes to stand on the earth again, the second coming. The Jewish people will be rebuilt. The Jewish temple will somehow, some way be rebuilt in Jerusalem, or there's another alternative that recently has come to light, or they will function as the temple on the Temple Mount. I read recently where there some Jewish Sanhedrin priests were saying they don't have to have a roof on the temple. All they have to have is access to the Temple Mount, because they believe the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, is the holy place. And to operate in the holy place on the Temple Mount, they could qualify to resume perhaps animal sacrifices. I'm not sure about all that. But it doesn't necessarily, maybe, doesn't have to be a temple like we would think a temple would be. Jesus actually does something. You want to know about the power of the scriptures? I told you Daniel is some 500 years before Christ. When Jesus comes and begins his ministry, Jesus actually quotes the prophecy of Daniel. What does that tell you about the authority of scripture? It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Jesus says, the day is coming when you will see. The day is coming. So he's announcing a future event. He's already 500 years in front of Daniel. So now he's talking about sometime in the future, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. What did Daniel talk about? I just read it to you. The sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Reader, pay attention. That's the words of Jesus. So what is this sacrilegious object that causes desecration? What is the holy place? It is the Jerusalem temple, the holy place. And something is going to defile the holy place. And what might that be? Well, it says specifically, Daniel 9:27, that this ruler, we believe he's the Antichrist, will break the treaty halfway through the tribulation, and he will himself defile the temple. He will himself defile it. Some things must happen. I'm reading one of them, must happen before the return of Christ. Now let's go to Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Paul says, don't be fooled by what they say. For that day, what are we talking about? The return of Jesus will not come. Some things have to happen before Jesus is going to come back. That day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings the tribulation, the one who brings the destruction is the man of lawlessness. And the return of Christ cannot happen. That day will not occur, will not happen until the great rebellion against God. Now, I believe the great rebellion actually begins to take place in the church when the church abandons the Holy Scriptures. This apostasy takes place. And quite frankly, I believe that the church is already, much of the church is living in apostasy now. But that apostasy, that rebellion against God, against His Word, against His name, happens before. It happens before the man of lawlessness is revealed. And then when he is revealed, he brings the destruction. The destruction is the tribulation that leads to the end, and the end is the return of Christ. Revelation 11, 1. Then I was given a measuring stick, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God, and go and measure the altar. And count the number of worshipers. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. And the nations, or these Gentiles, they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during those 1260 days. Some things must happen before the return of Christ. I'm reading all of this to tell you that some things make the return of Christ, his coming, his standing on the earth, not imminent because this hasn't happened yet. But what is imminent is the event that doesn't need anything to happen, and that would be the rapture of the church. The Antichrist will conquer the world through the use of military power. He will gain authority and gain power. How? And I'll show you that in a minute. Let's go to Revelation 13, 7. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people. And I believe that's a specific reference to the Jewish people. The beast, the Antichrist, was allowed to wage war against God's holy people, and he conquers them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. So there's Antichrist is going to come to power before the return of Christ. He's going to rule all over the earth with great power and authority. Every tribe, every people, every language, every nation. Some things must happen. This is one of them. One half of humanity, you want to know what's going to be like during his reign? One half of humanity will die in the process of this war with the Antichrist. Let me show you. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, when Jesus in heaven breaks the seal, I heard the fourth living being saying, come. I looked up and I saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over 1/4 of the earth. We're talking about in the tribulation. Actually, looks like it's in the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. These two were given authority over 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. This has to happen before the return of Christ. Jesus is the one opening the seals. This happens before he comes. So this is yet to come before he will come. Revelation 9, verse 13. And then the sixth angel blew his trumpet. And I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stand in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River." And then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year, the hour, the day, the month, the year. God's got this plan. Four angels that had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year were turned loose to do what? To kill 1/3 of all the people on the earth. This is the tribulation. Verse 16, I heard the size of the army, which was 200 million mounted troops. In the middle of the 7-year tribulation, 3.5 years after the peace agreement is signed, the Antichrist will enter the rebuilt Jerusalem temple and declare himself to be God to the whole world. This is revealed by the prophet Daniel. It is revealed again by Jesus himself. 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul brings it up. Don't be fooled by what they say. That day will not come. What day? We're talking again about the return of Jesus. When I say return of Jesus, I mean Jesus coming to the earth to stand on this earth. That day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Now here comes the next verse, verse 4. He, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God, every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming he himself is God. At the same time of all of this, all this death, all this war, all this false idolatry, this man claiming to be God, at the same time the Antichrist will murder the two witnesses of God who have been preaching repentance to the world for some 3.5 years. He will murder them publicly. Some things must happen before the return of Christ. Do you see where I'm going? So you can't say that the return of Christ is imminent if all of these things have to happen before. What you could say is imminent would be the rapture of the church, because it's not recorded that anything has to happen before he can rapture the church. Let's keep going. Revelation 11:7. When they complete their testimony, these witnesses, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, language, and nations will stare at their bodies, and no one will be allowed to bury them. And all the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other and celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them. Some things must happen before the return of Christ. This is one of them. The Antichrist and his false prophet are going to establish a system of worldwide control based on the mark that people have to take on their forehead or on their right hand. And let me pause in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of this quarantine, in the middle of all the hoarding and all the trouble there is with people moving and people trying to stay in their houses and all of that. Can you see right now in this pandemic how the fear of a pandemic and the idea of vaccinations could accomplish the scripture? Because I can. I can easily, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen now. I don't know. But I can easily see, if you struggle with the idea that somehow or another there's going to be a requirement to have a mark to do business, and that requirement to have a mark may have to do with the fact that you've been vaccinated. Because if you're not vaccinated, you're a danger to the world. Let me read it to you. Revelation 13, 16. He required everyone, small and great, this Antichrist. He requires everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without the mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. It is so easy right now in the middle of this pandemic to see how the world could very quickly move into some kind of a marking system, some kind of a new currency. And if you don't play along, if you don't go along, if you don't get the vaccination, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, if you don't, we're going to cut you out of commerce. You're not going to go into the grocery store. You're not going to go into any of these places because you're a danger. You're a risk. Can you see how it would happen? And it wouldn't take long for it to happen. The technology's there now. During the last half of the tribulation, the Antichrist will attempt to kill all the Jews. Why am I doing this? Why am I going through all this in the idea of the rapture? I'm trying to make it clear that the Bible is very clear that everything written in the scripture must happen. And there are so many things that must happen before the return of Christ, which actually means the return of Christ to stand on the earth is not imminent. All of these things must happen first. During the last half of the tribulation, the Antichrist will attempt to murder all of the Jewish people, and he will succeed in killing 2/3 of them. It's unstoppable. It's written. Everything written is going to happen. Let me read it to you. Some things must happen before. Revelation 12, verse 13. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Now, if you're wondering who the woman is, I believe she's representative of Israel who gives birth to the male child. The male child is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. She is taken and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. I'm convinced that's 3.5 years, which tells you when this is happening. In the last half of the tribulation. And then the dragon, the Antichrist, Satan himself actually, tried to drown the woman with the flood, but the earth helped her, helped Israel, the Jewish people, by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. There's a war between the dragon and all who keep God's commandments and all those who maintain their testimony for Jesus. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 13 gives the detail of this event in the Old Testament. Zechariah 13:8. 2/3 of the people in the land will be cut off and die, says the Lord. Do you think this is unstoppable? 2/3 of the people in the land will be cut off and die, says the Lord, but 1/3 will be left in the land. I will bring that group through the fire. and make them pure. And I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. Do you see all of these things that have to take place before the return of Christ? Some things must happen before. The Antichrist's kingdom will be destroyed by God in a single event of one day. Listen carefully. The Antichrist's kingdom that he has built up, this worldwide authority, will be destroyed by God in a single event of one day. Where do I get that? Revelation 18:8. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day. Death and mourning and famine. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. And the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. They will stand at a distance, terrified by the great torment. They will cry out, how terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. In a single moment, God's judgment came upon you. The Bible clearly states that all things must and will take place. The Bible clearly states that these things that I have read to you and many more must take place before Jesus comes the second time to stand upon the earth. That means Jesus' second coming is not imminent. It is not imminent. It could happen, in the word imminent means it could happen at any moment in time without any pre-requirements. As you can see, the scriptures clearly state that there's a lot of things that are going to take place before his second coming. However, listen carefully, the rapture, Jesus is coming for his bride, the church, isn't waiting on anything to happen. It is imminent. This point in itself would lead us to believe that the rapture and the second coming are two separate events, separated by 7 years of tribulation on the earth in which the Antichrist will rise to world power. And where does the Bible say that Jesus' return is imminent? Not waiting on anything. Where do we get the idea that the rapture is imminent? Where do we get the idea that the rapture could happen at any moment? Well, let's go in that direction. In Matthew 24:36, Jesus says, however, no one knows the day and no one knows the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son himself, only the Father knows. So no one knows the day, no one knows the hour. And you could, well, let's keep going. Chapter 24, verse 42. So you must too keep watch. You must keep watch. If you don't know the day and you don't know the hour, what do? So you too must keep watch, for you don't know you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If the homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when it's least expected. Get ready, keep watch. Get ready, keep watch. Get ready, keep watch. Why? Because I believe all of these scriptures I'm about to read you refer to the imminent return of Christ. There's not a series of events that need to take place before you get ready. You need to get ready, keep watch. Matthew 25:13, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour of my return. 1 Thessalonians 5. I always thought this is such a powerful scripture. Paul writes the church, and by the way, it is the same church that he writes and gives us the rapture scripture, chapter 4. But you aren't in the dark about these things. Dear brothers and sisters, you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Well, wait a minute. I thought no one knows the day and no one knows the hour. He's going to come like a thief in the night. But then Paul writes the church who he has personally told about the rapture that's going to take place. The loud shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet blast. He tells them that. And then after he tells them that, that's recorded in chapter 4 and chapter 5. He says, you're not going to be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Why are we not surprised? For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness. You're not going to be surprised, which means there's something. The Holy Spirit's going to be doing something. He's going to be preparing the bride for the wedding. Verse 6, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Why? Because it's imminent. It's imminent. It'll just happen. It'll be in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in an instant, it will happen. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I just know it's imminent. There's not a series of things that now have to take place before. No, it's imminent. There are some things that must take place before the return of Christ that stands on the earth, but not for the return of Christ in the clouds to take his bride. So how do we know the rapture will occur before the Great Tribulation and not the midpoint? Because I've got some good friends that think that the rapture will actually be 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation. They agree there's going to be a rapture. They agree there's going to be people taking people left behind. But they don't think it'll be before the tribulation. They think it'll be at the midpoint, maybe 3.5 years into the tribulation. First, let me say this. This is not a point of fellowship. If you believe in a pre-trib rapture or a mid-trib rapture, this is not a point of fellowship, not with me. This is not a spiritual contention, not with me. It might be with you, but it is not with me. But I'm going to explain why I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And what I'm about to read to you explains why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, which means the bride of Christ will be taken away before the Antichrist is revealed, before the one who brings destruction will be gone. I'll start with Luke 21, verse 25. Jesus says this, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on the earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. So when you see, now he's just described let me make a point, verse 27. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and glory. So when you see all of these things backing up, when you see them begin to happen. And I'm not trying to make too much out of that. When it begins to happen, I believe the end of them happening is verse 27. Everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud with great power and glory. When you see these things begin to happen, not when they end, but when they begin to happen, what? Stand and look up, for your salvation is near. But here's my favorite. I'm going to tell you, my favorite is this one. In Luke chapter 21, the Lord has impressed this particular scripture on me supernaturally in several occasions. I don't have time to go into the detail of that. But I'm going to tell you, in Luke 21, 34, Jesus himself says this to the church. And by the way, he says this at the end of Luke's version of the Olivet Discourse where he talks about his second coming. He says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Everyone living on the earth. And keep alert at all times and pray. Keep alert. Listen carefully. Keep alert at all times and pray that you would be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. How clear is that? I should pray that I would be strong enough to escape the tribulation escape the coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. I pray that prayer every day. I pray that prayer for my family. I pray that prayer for the church, that we would be strong enough to escape the tribulation. We won't be left behind. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. He is the one. I know somebody would read that and say, well, he's rescued us from hell. Yes, he has rescued us from hell. But I read into this something else. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. The tribulation is God's judgment. I believe he will rescue us from that judgment as well. So that's why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. But one of the biggest ones, listen, Jesus addresses seven churches in Revelation. We got into detail in the first part of this series, these seven churches. When he gets to the church at Philadelphia, listen to what he says. Revelation 3:10, because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world. What do you think that is? Because you have obeyed my command to persevere. Church, he's talking specifically to a church. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I believe that that is the great tribulation that he will save the church from. Now, here's a big point. In fact, this might be the biggest point in my position. Who and what is holding back Satan and the darkness of Satan on the earth right now today? What is the restrainer of evil on the earth today? What is holding back darkness? What's holding back the man of lawlessness? What's holding back the spirit of Antichrist? What's holding back the terror that awaits the end days? What's holding it back? What do you think would happen if the church, the light of the world, was suddenly taken away? Let me put it another way. What do you think the trigger might be to the tribulation? What might be the trigger, the event that sets it all off? What's keeping terror, the Antichrist, from taking over the earth? In fact, this might be the most powerful evidence I have to give you now. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let's answer the question. What is holding back the coming of the Antichrist, which is the tribulation, the man who brings destruction? 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit on the temple of God, in the temple of God, that he and claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what's holding him back? Here it comes. What do you think is holding him back? This man of lawlessness that will go to the Jerusalem temple in a height of his authority and claim to the world he's God. He's the Messiah. You know what's holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. What do you think's holding him back? I can tell you what I think's holding him back. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain a secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way, or is taken out of the way. And then, after this power that's holding back the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the one who brings destruction, then after the one is taken out of the way, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. But the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. I truly believe that the church is the restrainer of evil. And the church right now is holding back the power of darkness. And the church right now is holding back the great tribulation. The church. My conclusion if the restrainer of evil is the church, this is one of the strongest evidences of the pre-tribulation rapture. Because what do you think is going to happen when the restrainer of evil, the light of the world, is what keeps the darkness from taking over? And Jesus clearly said that we're the light of the world. He in us is the light of the world. And if he takes us from the earth, darkness will cover the earth. The man of lawlessness will rise to power in the vacuum of the church's departure. The church, listen carefully. I have people ask the question, who do you think the Antichrist is going to be? I don't want to know who the Antichrist is, because I'm convinced reading that scripture, the church won't know the Antichrist's identity because he won't be revealed until we're taken out of the way. One last thought. The book of Revelation begins with Jesus' letter to the seven churches, and then something happens in John's writing. In fact, if you read the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, which we did in detail earlier in this session, it's the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. It all talks about the church, and then something happens. We open up chapter 4, and something drastically changes. Let me read the first three verses of Revelation 4. And then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice, it's the voice of Jesus talking to John. The voice said, come up here, John. Now, he's not been up there yet. He's been down on the Isle of Patmos talking about the churches. Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly I was in the spirit and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. This verse talks about John being spiritually raptured. John is on the Isle of Patmos and he's having a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus is telling him, write this down, church, 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 church. And suddenly John is spiritually raptured from earth to heaven. Come up here, John, and I will show you what must take place after this. After what? The first three chapters of Revelation, all they talk about is the church. And then something happens. John is taken up, called up to meet the Lord at the throne. And John doesn't mention the church again until the very end. Where did they go? Is this a picture of the rapture of the church? The church isn't mentioned again in Revelation until chapter 21. And then she is referred to in what context? The bride. She's gone to be with the bridegroom. Does anybody remember the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids? The door was opened. The bridegroom's coming, and they go through the door. And when does John mention them again in Revelation? Let's close with that. Chapter 22. All you hear in the first three chapters is the church. Chapter 4, John is taken up, and we don't talk about the church until the end of Revelation. And by the way, the middle part of Revelation from chapter 4 till they get to the end of Revelation when the bride is mentioned, that is the tribulation. In Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, say come. Let anyone who hears this come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. And let anyone who desires drink freely from this water of life. The bride of Christ, the church, do you think the bride of Christ will be ravaged during the tribulation? Or do you think the bride of Christ will be rescued from the coming horrors by the bridegroom who comes before? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the idea that everything in the scripture must happen so we know what's coming. And I thank you, Lord, that you also made clear that we're to keep watch. No one knows the hour of the day. But Lord, we will not be caught off guard, for the Holy Spirit will reveal in our hearts this imminent return. Lord, when we see these things begin to happen, look up, our redemption is near. So Lord, we're looking up, we're watching, we're waiting. We pray that we'd be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. And may this message of hope go from the church into the world until that last day. I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.